greatest eye in the world. Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman is here. We're going to Boca Chica. It looks to be good news, but I don't want to get ahead of this. Good evening to you, Bob.
Very wise, John. Yes, Boca Chica, SpaceX, early this week, completed a dress rehearsal countdown, which they took down to T-minus 10 seconds. So they didn't quite get to a static fire burn, which is generally their policy prior to launch with Falcon 9 and with Starship Super Heavy. They would do static fire tests, but then prior to the launch, they would do a full dress rehearsal countdown and always bring it down to T-minus zero and fire the engines for a burst. But they didn't do the static fire test here. Elon Musk did a tweet in connection with the tweet from SpaceX saying that we're going to launch soon. This is the third unmanned orbital test flight of Starship Super Heavy. They've done two, both of which had problems, not surprisingly. They're in prototype tests. This would be another prototype test. But we don't know yet when this will happen. That they didn't continue on to a burn of the engines is puzzling to me. It suggests one of two things. One, there were issues during the countdown, and they just aborted 10 seconds before T-minus zero, or the company was doing tests of its loading procedures and dress rehearsal. Now, why it would need to do that at this stage, this is still prototype, so of course, obviously, they could be testing things they needed to check on. But I have to wonder if the FAA is involved in this some way. SpaceX completed its investigation. The FAA rubber-stamped the investigation, but said SpaceX has to complete a whole bunch of specific things listed in that investigation before it'll give a launch license. It's very possible that this dress rehearsal countdown was done to satisfy the FAA. I don't know that for a fact, but I get that sense. SpaceX, these are prototypes. So the company's policy would be generally to fly these things, let them explode because they got to clear them out because they already have later prototypes already have more advanced. But, you know, you do the flight to learn some things, but then you get it out of the way so you can fly the more advanced prototypes. So a lot of this extra work might not have to do with anything SpaceX wants to do, but it's something they're being required to do by the FAA. There is no word yet when that launch license will be issued. We're now early March. Musk a few weeks ago said we'll launch in early March. Nope. They were originally hoping to launch in February. Nope. I think it really does still comes down to the FAA and the government interaction.
A puzzle, Bob. Remembering the 60s and 70s, Richard Nixon regarded NASA's success with Apollo as huge electioneering, huge, especially in the elections of 70 and 72. There was lots of talk about how we're going to the moon, we've been on the moon, we're going back to the moon. It's a puzzle that the Biden administration is not connecting to the success of SpaceX, isn't it?
Well, I personally hope people don't take this as partisanship, but I don't think the Biden administration is much connected to the public in almost any way. They're more interested in hurting Elon Musk because he says he's not going to vote Democrat anymore than they are really in promoting the space program in any way. They don't act like they care whether or not we get to the moon. They act more like they're personally offended by Musk's politics, okay, and therefore they're going to do everything to destroy him. That's my sense.
I just mentioned
it's not rational, John. That's all I can say.
Perhaps they'll do it for Blue Origin. Who knows? We move to another SpaceX story, this one about Texas. I remember a land swap. Is this about the mall or the restaurant? What is the
No,
land
this
swap?
Has nothing to do with the mall or the restaurant. This is, though, SpaceX. Well, it might have to do with it, but I don't know for a fact. I don't think so. This is a case where SpaceX had worked out a deal with the various wildlife commissions and government agencies in Boca Chica to exchange 43 acres of state park land for almost 500 acres of a nearby wildlife refuge. SpaceX with the 43 acres, which are located near its facility, and there are a bunch of patches of land that are owned by the state park that don't really serve anybody. They're not next to the beach. They're not contiguous. They're like patches around private land. And so SpaceX will get that, so it'll consolidate its holdings. And in exchange, the parks will get four, the local state park will get almost 500 acres in a nearby wildlife refuge that can be used for park purposes. There was, of course, the typical activists groups, not very representative of the feelings of the Brownsville area, but they were fighting this because they fight all things Elon Musk. They sent buses up to the meeting to complain loudly. The meeting lasted 4 hours. And then the Texas Parks and Wildlife Commission in Austin voted to approve the land swap. Now, it's not finalized yet, but the one pin has fallen towards getting this done. Once again, the public in Brownsville in South Texas wants SpaceX to be successful. There are activist groups that don't, and they get the press, but they're not the public.
SpaceX launches 4 NASA astronauts to ISS. If we have to make it a story, Bob, it's not the lead story, which is how confident we are that it's going to be a success each time.
Yeah, it's not even a news story. What's more interesting about this particular launch of 4 astronauts, though, is that SpaceX completed 3 launches in less than 3 hours. They did this launch, and then they followed up the next day with 2 more launches, one Starlink and another one, sending up like over 50 small sats. So they're moving and moving very aggressively, as always, to get things done. A lot of this, let me go right into the next story, John, because a lot of the small sats that were launched on that second launch of the 3 SpaceX did were private demo missions or actual missions to do either orbital tugs, to do in-space servicing, to remove space junk, to refuel satellites. These were all private missions designed to do this kind of work, and these have been now going on for the last 2 or 3 years. What's interesting is that NASA had a project at the Goddard Space Flight Center for more than a decade and a half to do on-orbit servicing and refueling. This program was conceived by a guy named Frank Cepolina, who had run the program in the 80s to use the shuttle to do repairs, and they repaired Solar Max on a shuttle mission in 84. He also was the guy in charge of all the repair missions for the Hubble Space Telescope. Frank Cepolini was probably retired now. He's in his late 80s. Was an important man. So he's, after the Hubble was ready, he put together this program to do a refueling mission to refuel a Landsat 7 satellite that was still operational but had no fuel. And unfortunately, the program has just gone on and on and on. Its budget has grown to almost $2 billion. And meanwhile, private enterprise has stepped up and is doing it already. It's already doing it, so this demonstration mission isn't needed. So this week, NASA shut the whole program down. They decided, let's not throw more good money after bad, and they closed it down. Cepolina was a government guy, so he didn't think in terms of profit and loss and efficiency. He thought in terms only of getting the job done as best as possible. So, of course, his project here eventually turned out to be a typical government project, over budget, delayed, and therefore not very efficient. And we don't need it anymore, so it's gone.
Yes, the story of Big Space, as I understand it now, Bob, at your instruction, is that we shouldn't call it Big Space. We should call it Cost Plus. That's what it is.
That's a very good point, John. That's a great way to put it. Yeah, the whole program is Cost Plus. That's correct.
Cost Plus on the moon in 1969. We go now to what looks to be very good news, and it's not Cost Plus. It's private. But there's a space race. It's not China. It's not China working with Russia and North Korea. It's Blue Origin. Remind everybody where Blue Origin's been and where it is now, Bob.
Yes, Blue Origin is Jeff Bezos' space company that was founded almost the exact same time as SpaceX, but it has done nothing. It really has been a disappointment up to now. But last fall, they got rid of the CEO that I think was the cause of its moribund failed operations. And Jeff Bezos' company, Blue Origin, seems to be coming back to life. Let's keep our fingers crossed. Well, one of their officials was on 60 Minutes this past weekend, and he was interviewed. And during that interview, he said that Blue Origin's manned lunar lander, this is the one they're building for NASA in competition with SpaceX's Starship, for landing astronauts on the moon in the Artemis program. Its lunar lander called Blue Moon, they are now targeting an unmanned test landing on the moon within the next 12 to 16 months. That means next year. That means in 25. They're targeting a date next year. Now, of course, I think this is an ambitious target. It would not be a surprise if it was delayed. But this is not the company that existed during the previous CEO, where they would just not do anything and not really give any solid dates. This is a test. This is a ambitious program, and I get a sense it's real. And that means that Blue Origin is coming back to life. And that means that we will have two, it looks like we're going to have two different lunar landers competing to get to the moon at almost the same exact time. Let's keep our fingers crossed. Blue Origin hasn't yet proven this to us. But there's indications continually that they're getting closer to becoming a real company again, John.
That lander, does it exist?
They're building it. The picture I have on Behind the Black is actually an earlier visualization. There's a link in the article to a more recent visualization of it. It's a very high object, like two stories high, more than that. And it's got narrow leg footprint. And I actually note this on my post. Considering what happened to Intuitive Machines' Odysseus lander, which also was very high center of gravity, I have a question about this that has to be answered. And I don't know who to answer it. I'm not an engineer. But it seems to me that they are taking risks with a high center of gravity on a lunar lander, and it's a manned lunar lander, no less. So I'm not sure what the deal is here. But either way, that's their lander, and they hope to have it built and flying by next year.
And another question, Bob, looking at the graphic that we linked to, does this look like the Apollo series protocols? In other words, they settle down, and then the top layer blasts back to the rendezvous?
Yeah, that appears to be the concept. That's one of the reasons it's so high, that the bottom half is the landing part, and then it becomes a platform for the top to take off. I could be wrong about that. The Blue Origin official, who, by the way, used to work for SpaceX, he said this is supposed to be completely reusable, so it's very possible the whole thing launches as a unit as well.
Yeah,
I can't answer the question for totally.
That would be logical from what we can see, because it doesn't look like there's a separation between the two parts. And the bottom part looks to have fuel cells all around it to feed it for a takeoff. So,
right. Yeah, it's possible very much that this thing will work as a unit. Their goal is to make it a reusable piece, and that's the case. I have to say, though, on the newer graphic, I'm really disturbed at how small the footprint is for the legs. Yeah. You would think those legs would want to come out more to lower the center of gravity, but they don't. And, of course, this is still under development, so we'll see how that changes over time.
It's exciting, though, Bob. I mean, after
these
years of waiting for Blue Origin to wake up, it's like the Rip Van Winkle of space exploration. Okay. We come now to Australia doing something extremely positive, a spaceport. Where?
Yes, I've got a map on Behind the Black and a story related to it. The map shows two different potential spaceports in Australia. There already is one on the south coast of Australia that has been used in the past, but these are two private spaceports on the north coast. No, up until now, neither had gotten their approvals for being a spaceport from the government, and we've been waiting for a long time for that. But the story here is that the eastern spaceport, the Bowen spaceport, which is going to be operated by Gilmore Space, it's a private rocket startup in Australia, has now gotten its spaceport license from the Australian government. So that spaceport now can launch rockets. Unfortunately, the Australian government has not yet issued a launch license for Gilmore's Eris rocket to launch from Bowen. So even though they got the permission to use it as a spaceport, they don't yet have permission to do a launch. Will they get that permission? Well, we'll have to wait and see. Australia's government, whose laws are based on Great Britain's, has given me indications it's going to be as slow approving things as Great Britain is. So we'll have to wait and see. We'll know in a few months, because Gilmore says they want to launch their first launch within coming months, and they've applied for the launch license like a year ago. If that launch doesn't happen in the coming months, then we're seeing Australia producing the same red tape.
It may be happening, Bob, but this will be exciting for the Australians to have two ports of their own.
They'll have more. They'll have at least three with the one that's in the south part of the country. So they'll have at least three, and two of them will be private, though they'll also supposedly be private launches going off on the third in the south of the country. And once again, these are for startup rocket companies. The Equatorial Launch Australia, which I show on the map, it's opening. It's a spaceport opening up to everyone else. And in fact, the next story has to do with actually the southern spaceport, the one in the south. A German rocket startup called High Impulse has now packed its SR-75 test rocket for shipment to Australia for a suborbital test in the Kuniba test range on the nation's south coast. This is the launch range in the south. High Impulse is one of three German rocket startup companies that are trying to build rockets. It actually has been very quiet. So this is news from it that I haven't heard from in a while. But they hope that in the coming months, later this year, they're going to do a suborbital test from southern Australia that will put them in the lead. It's actually a question. Which of these three German companies will do the first test launch? They're all pretty much gearing up to this year.
Bob Zimmerman, we're going to Mars. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.